Thank you, Brother Jakin. We'll now call up Brother Jay to give his introduction to Sign 8.
Thanks, Brother Joshua. And good morning, everyone, for the last time. So just a few comments on John chapter 21, the eighth sign, before we jump into our very last discussion group this week. There's a lot here in this sign. It's an amazing sign. It really is. There is a there's a lot that the disciples have learned to this point. They've learned a lot in the 40 days in between the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and his ascension to heaven, which we begin to read about in the book of Acts. And this is the third time now, it says. In verse 14, it says that this was the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. We read about the other times spoken about in John chapter 20. So as a group, this was the third time that he appeared to them. They're not all there, as it says. It says in verse 2 that there were together Simon, Peter, Thomas. Isn't it great to see Thomas there? Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, James and John, and two other disciples. So Simon, Thomas, Nathanael, James and John, and two other disciples that were there. So there would have been four who were missing at this particular time. When we look at verse 1, it says that after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. So the Sea of Tiberias, what is the sea? What sea are we talking about here?
Galilee.
This is Galilee, but why call it Tiberias? I mean, he could have called it Galilee. It could have been called Gennesaret as well. That was also known as the Sea of Gennesaret. In the Old Testament, it was called Kinneroth. But why call it Tiberias here? And one of the reasons for that is because it was upon the Sea of Tiberias, the Sea of Nations, as we saw that it stood for, as Jesus walked on the water and his disciples are moving across that sea. It was the Sea of Tiberias, the Sea of the Gentiles. Tiberias was the king of all the Gentiles. He stood as the figure, as the ruler for all Gentile authority in that area. And it was upon that group of people over whom Tiberias ruled that the Lord Jesus Christ would send his apostles to go out into that sea and do some fishing and to preach and to draw out people from the net of the gospel. And as it says in another parable, that when you put the net of the gospel out, you're going to bring out some good fish and some bad fish. But we don't find any bad fish here at all, do we? They're just good. They're just on what side? The fish are caught only on the right side, and they're great fish, healthy, having increased and grown. And they represent ultimately the totality of the redeemed who would be brought in through the work of the apostles, who and those who would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ through their word as well. This is the work of the apostles. Now, it's been suggested sometimes that the apostles at this particular moment, and in particular Peter, had actually gone back to his old way of life. Have you heard that? And the suggestion is when we come down to verse 15. It says, after they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Lovest thou me more than these? Now the these could be a number of things. It could be, do you love me more than the fish that you just caught? 153 enormous fish. But the these also could be the disciples themselves. Peter, do you love me more than these? And that's exactly what Jesus is asking him. And we know that because there are so many connections that take us right back to the very moment in which all of the disciples left Jesus behind. And when they all left him behind and Peter kind of lingered afar off, and he warmed himself by a fire of coals and denied him three times that he ever knew his friend. And it's to that moment that the Lord Jesus is drawing Peter's attention back to. But just come back with me, just to show those two things now. The first thing we're trying to show through this passage is that the disciples are not being unfaithful being out on the Sea of Galilee. I know that they've moved from Jerusalem up to the north to Galilee, but the only reason they've moved from Jerusalem to Galilee is because there was an expectation that Jesus would manifest himself to them at that particular place. That's what it says. So let's just go back to Mark chapter 14 is a good place to show this. And we'll just begin at verse 27. So this is when Jesus is speaking about, this is him in the upper room with the disciples celebrating the Passover that night. And in verse 26, it says that when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said unto them, all ye, he's speaking to the disciples as a group, all of you shall be offended because of me this night. You will sin, you will stumble over me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And that prophecy in Zechariah had a reference in part to the disciples who would flee as their shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be smitten. But look what he says in verse 28. But after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. And right after that, you know what Peter says? Look, though all shall be offended, not me. In other words, I love you more than the rest of these. Jesus said to him, all of you, not just to him, but to all of them, all of you are going to be offended because of me, and you're going to be scattered. And Peter's like, not me. Even though all of these will, not me. And so in John chapter 21, when Jesus comes to him around the fire of coals again, says, do you love me more than these do? And he asks him three times. And every question's a little bit different. So these are a couple of things I hope that we can have a look at. When we come back, what I'd like to do, for sure, among other things, is just have a suggestion for how we come to the number 153. I'd like to hear what some of the other suggestions are, but I have one that seems to fit not only, and again, I'm not trying to say that there's only one way to get there, but this particular way ties into John and his personal transformation as well, as the Lord fitted him for the work that he was about to do in the future with the rest of the disciples. And with that, we'll turn it back over to Josh, who will dismiss us into our discussion groups.